The Tanya, ish ish, matam adloimer, ish ish. Why does the Torah say ish ish l'rabbi says oivid kechavin to include a goy? Shenoidrim nedavos nedarim nedavos ki Yisrael. So since he's already brought into the parasha of Karbonos, emuri nami meimer, that would stand to reason he should also have the ability to do tamura. Oidilma kivon de loyosi l'chlal einshim ki ovid tamura loykotcha. Or again, perhaps since he's not in the parasha of Einshim, he should not have the parasha of Temura. The Gemara right away refutes this, because the whole Hakdama that we gave to the sugi at the beginning was that Temura is a direct outcome of Einish. So if there's no Einish, there's no Temura. And that was the whole reason earlier on why we spoke about a Kotten not being in the parasha of Temura. And the way we explained it was based on the Rambam, that the whole concept of Temura is a knas. So if you're not in the parasha of Oynish, you're not in the parasha of Temura. So why is the Gemara now debating Bechlal Goy is in the parasha of Temura? We already concluded that Temura must have an element of Oynish. It's not just Tam Maisa Hektish, it's an Oynish. So once we came to that conclusion, that Temura must have a connection to Einish, so why is the Gemara now debating whether a Goy is in the parasha? So the Gemara seems to then say it, Omar Rava Toshma, the Tanya Kotche Ev Kechavim, Loi Nenim V'lo Moalim, V'in Chayovin Aleim Mishim Pigul, Noiser V'tomei, a Goy's korban does not have Me'ila, although you're not allowed to benefit, it doesn't have a din of Me'ila, you're not Chayev, the Pigul Noiser and Tomei, and it says clear, V'ein Oysin Tamura. What do you mean?
It doesn't get eaten anyhow.
Yeah, but you could still leave it over. If you didn't bring put on the Mizbech, you could still leave it over. The Goy doesn't bring the Nesachim, but we add the Nesachim to his Korban, Divrei Shimon, Omer Biesi, Bekulam Ani Roya Lahachmer. Okay, this whole Brisa is not relevant as much as the Tmur part of it. The Brisa says clear that Kotche Akam don't make Tmura. So Rabbi Yossi says, I hold all of them, we're machmeh with all of them, and here is a machlokes rishonim if it means tmura as well, or only the other issues, pigul noiser and tameh. Bamed vor mamur mekotche mizbeach, that's only if it's a korban. Avol kotche berek abayis, but if a goy dedicates something to the berek abayis, moyalim bohen. Then there is a din of meila. And we'll see why that is. If a goy doesn't have the ability to be makdish something to the point that there's mi'ilah, why should domim be different? We'll see that as well. But the Gemara says, "Ktani miha, ein oisim tmura." Says you don't make tmura. Says the Gemara. But again, the Gemara didn't attack Rami Bar Chama's shaila from a svara. In svara, the Gemara held that Rami Bar Chama had a good shaila. Does a goy, can a goy create tmura? The Gemara holds it's a good shaila. The only reason why the Gemara refuted it was from the Braisa. The Braisa says clearly, ain't oisim tmura. If not for the Braisa, we would understand Rami Bar Chama's question. So the Gemara now says that Rami Bar Chama answers, that wasn't my shaila. If the goy was the one who was makdish it, for the purpose of a goy to have a kapora, I would have never had such a shaila. Ki komi boili, my whole shaila is only behikdash evit kechovim miskaper b'Yisrael. Which means we find in korbanos that there is the possibility of somebody being makdash a korban not for themselves. We had that in Nazir. We have that throughout different mesechtas where you could be makdash something for somebody else. So avad, if the goy is being makdash a korban for himself, vadai, there would not be a dinner parasha of tmura. The whole shaila is where the goy is being makdash a korban for a yid. Bosser makdash aslinon, or bosser mechaper aslinon. Who do we go by? Do we go by the makdash or do we go by the mechaper? Okay. Now again, the only reason why Rami Bar Chama shifted is because of the brisa. And the problem we had was that the whole shaila seems to be a mute shaila, because we know that a goy is not in the parasha of Einshin, and we said at the beginning that tmura needs to be in the parasha of Einshin to make tmura. So it's still not clear why the Gemara feels that that's not a pircha. The Gemara is only dealing with the Braisa. The Braisa seems to say that a goy cannot do tmura. So Rami Bachama wiggles around that. That's not such a problem. That wasn't my shaila. My shaila was hikdash Yisrael, hikdash Akum was kapra by Yisrael. Another major issue with this Gemara is that the Gemara takes on for Dover Poshet that a goy could be makdash a carbon, liskapra by Yisrael. Who even says such a thing exists? Later on, the Gemara brings a psukim that a Jew could be makdash a carbon for another Jew. We learn out of a pasuk. So really, the whole concept that I could be makdash a carbon for you to be yoitza is a chiddush, which is, we learn out of a pasuk, it says, shalotasik yodoy. We learn out of that pasuk that sometimes if I can't afford a carbon, you bring it for me, and it's you makdash it for me, and I'm yoitza the carbon. But that's a special Xeris HaKosov. It stands to reason that that pasuk is not applicable by a goy. If you want to look it up, you can sound Dav Yudam and Aleph later on, where the Gemara brings the whole drasha. And not only is this clear from our sugya, on Dav Yud, that this is a special pasuk, if you look at Meseches Nozir, Dav Samach Aleph on the base, Tosfos says clearly that although one Jew could bring a korban nozir for another Jew, Tosfos says Avada Goy cannot. So if you have Reuven as a nozir, and John is makdash a carbon for Reuven the nozir, doesn't work. It stands to reason that a goy is not in the parasha of this idea of being makdash a carbon for you. So that being the case, why does our Gemara take on for a Dover Poshet that a goy can, in fact, bring a carbon for a Jew? The whole thing doesn't work. Besides from a pasuk standpoint, it doesn't seem to work. In Svarad, we have a problem with this as well. Whenever you have a makdish and a miskaper, the Gemara says that you need das ha-miskaper. So it's not enough just that I get up and say, okay, I'm bringing a korban for you, makdish a korban for you. You, the miskaper, you who the korban is for, have to also have das, that I'm doing this for you. Otherwise, it's a problem. So that means that the miskaper is really sending you, in a sense, like his shliach, to be makdish the korban. It's not just out of nowhere that Reuven goes and brings his makdish Shimon's korbanos. For Haraya, Shimon needs to give his approval and his das. So if that's the case, we have a very serious problem here. There's no shlichus to goy, b'chlal. So there's even a mechanical breakdown. First of all, the whole thing should need a pasuk. That a goy could do such a thing. Without a pasuk, we seem to be in no man's land. Because you see, we need a pasuk that Reuven could bring a korban for Shimon. Clearly, a goy's korban, as you can see from all the cases brought down in the Gemara, a goy's korban is very different than a Jew's korban. Who says that a goy has the ability to do that? That's number one. Number two, in fact, we have Rishonim that say clearly a goy cannot. By nozer, cannot do it. Number three, and perhaps the strongest question in the sugi here, is that being that there is a connection between the mechaper and the miskaper, whenever a korban Reuven is bringing a korban for Shimon, it's built on the concept that I'm doing it for you and I have your knowledge to do so. That means that to some degree, you're appointing me as your representative. A goy is not in that whole parasha. Not in the whole parasha of appointing a Jew. So these are all problems understanding what the Gemara's angle here is, that it should work. Why the makdish akum, b'chdeshi eskaper Yisrael, should work at all. If it works, so that's one side. The other side is, now we're going to have to understand, in fact, now that the Gemara's assuming all of this, that a guy could do it, he could be makdish for a Jew, now we have to understand, well then why wouldn't tomorrow work? That's also not clear. Once you've passed all those checkpoints, that a goy could be makdish for another Jew, and the Jew is the miskaper, and the goy is the makdish, then it becomes unclear, why shouldn't it work? Why shouldn't the Jew be able to do tmura? All over the miskaper does tmura, which is what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara. It sounds like you need shlichas, you need to be appointed. No, you're being makdash a korban for me. I have an obligation. You're fulfilling my obligation. I have an obligation to be makdash a korban. You, Reuven, are being makdash a korban on my behalf. So you're fulfilling my obligation.
Or is it really in the possession of the hechsher
and he's just moving it around? No. Forget Temura. We're not even up to Temura yet. We're at step one. Reuven is high of carbon. Shimon brings the carbon for Reuven. So the Gemara is applying that to a case where the goy is bringing a carbon for Reuven. Okay? But you have to, step one. Step one is Reuven brings the carbon for Shimon. Over there, Reuven is representing Shimon's obligation. The Haraya, Shimon needs to have knowledge and go along with the idea that Reuven is being makdish the carbon for him. The question is, by a goy, that doesn't even seem to be possible. So forgetting Temura, how do we have the case of the Gemara? The Gemara is saying, this is the case. Our question is, a case where a Jew is the one who's the beneficiary of the goy's hektish. The goy went, he was makdash a carbon. He said, I want this to be for the yid. Okay? So now the shaila is if that yid could do Temura. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Our question is, how did you even get there? How did you get to the point that the goy is being makdash a carbon for a Jew? How did that even happen? Says the Gemara, Tifshit le mirabavu. So if this is your case, that the goy is the one who was makdash, and the yid is the beneficiary, l'chor we have a raya from Rabavu. The Omer Rabavu, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, ha-makdash moisif chaymish. The halacha is, when somebody is makdash something to the Beis HaMikdash and he redeems it back, he has to add a chaymish. Miskaper ois a tmur. When it's a question, who does tmura? Is it the one who was makdash the carbon? Or is it the one that's getting the benefit of the kapara of the carbon? The rule is, the miskaper, the one who's getting the benefit, the kapara, he's the one that makes tmura. If you take truma on somebody else's tfua, you have the benefit of giving it to the kohen. So these are all the examples where I'm doing something for hekdish to benefit you. Either I'm doing your carbon for you, or I'm doing your truma for you. So we say that the one who does the tmura, who can activate the tmura, is the one who's getting the benefit of the kapara. So the Gemara basically is saying, that being the case, so it's a mute shaila. Avada, you could do tomorrow. If John the Goy was makdish the carbon for Reuven, so of course Reuven could do tomorrow. Because just like if Reuven was makdish the carbon for Shimon, Shimon is the one who does tomorrow. So if John was makdish the carbon for Shimon, Shimon does the tomorrow. That's what the Gemara said. Says the Gemara, no. Amalei, there it's different. Over there it's coming from a Jew. The Jew is the originator. The origin of this carbon is a Jew. That's why it works. Over there you have both the Makdish and the Miskaper as Yisrael. But over here by my Shaila, Rami Bar Chama Shaila, Hocha Kami Boile. This is our question. Does it have to always be at least in the possession of somebody who could create Temura? And here where John was makdish the carbon, for Reuven, it wasn't always in the possession of somebody that could make Temura. So, it's very unclear the Gemara. Why would that get in the way? If we're saying that in Hilchas Temura, we don't look at the makdish, we don't look at the person that creates the hektish, we look at the person who's the beneficiary of the hektish, and that's the rule all over Temura, why would this be different? That's number one. Number two, the origin was by the yid. Because the guy from day one, he wasn't makdash the carbon for himself. From day one, he said, this carbon should be for him. So the origin of the carbon, in fact, was somebody who could make Temura. From day one, who was the one that makes Temura on this animal? The Jew. That was day one. So these are the main shaila here in our sugya is number one, what's the Havamina? And what's the Maskona? The Gemara, the Havamina is assuming that a Jew can be the beneficiary of a goy's carbon. That is a big tzorachian. Sai mitzad gzeres hakosov and sai mitzad svara. How could the goy represent the yid? The maskana is difficult. If in fact that is the case, then why shouldn't it work? It should be a non-issue. Of course it works. The Rambam twists our sugya. The Rambam that I asked everybody to look up, I don't know if everybody got a chance to look it up, but if you look at the Rambam, the Rambam learns the conclusion of our sugya is as follows. Halacha Vav, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav. Kodshe goyim oisim tmur min atara. A goy's carbon doesn't do tmur. Says the Rambam, Avol midivrei soifrim, but midrabonon hagoy shehema reza tmur. We treat it l'chumra with the halachas of tmur. Midrabonon. Now he comes to the shail of our Gemara. Romi barcha mishail. Higdish goy behema. She is kaper bo Yisrael. That so far it's exactly the way we learned the Gemara. The goy was makdish a korban for the Jew to benefit. The hamir bo hagoy. And now the goy came and did tmura. Hareza sofik tmura. So the Rambam learns that the shailam our Gemara is a case where John was makdish a korban for Reuven, and then John went and tried to do tmura. And that's the shail of the Gemara. Maybe then tmura would work. Maybe the tmura would work in that situation. One second. It's obvious that this goes against any line of reasoning. Because the Rambam is obviously saying that if a Jew was makdish a karban, right, where the Jew is the makdish, and the Jew is the miskaper, he's everything, the Jew. So that's a korban that has very high stakes in tmura. It has all the options of tmura in it. And the Jew went and said, you know what, let the goy do tmura. It wouldn't work. That's not even our shaila. We don't even have such a shaila. Okay? Not only that, if Reuven was makdish a korban that Shimon should bring, where you have all parties are in the parasha of Tamura. Okay? Reuven is in the parasha of Tamura, and Shimon is in the parasha of Tamura. Reuven brings a korban for Shimon to do Tamura. Would not work. Reuven would not be able to make Tamura. Even though you have the benefit that it's a korban of Yisrael, the makdash of Yisrael, the miskaper is Yisrael. Reuven still would, because the Ramah Paskins, miskaper is a Tamura. Right? So what in the world is going on? That means, how could the goy be better than the Yisrael? According to the Rambam, our Gemara is declaring that a goy is better than a Yisrael. Because a Yisrael that was makdish a korban for another Yisrael, and now the originator, the makdish, would try to do tmur, would be ineffective. Right? Because he's the makdish. The miskaper is the one that has the tmur option. Couldn't do tomorrow. Now that we have a goy who's a makdish, okay, now we're going to have a shaila that in order that yid should be miskaper, now the goy who's a makdish, who ordinarily does not have the ability to do tomorrow, now he has two strikes against him. He's a goy and he's not the miskaper. Now he will be able to do tomorrow. That's a pelanifla. When the goy is the makdish and the miskaper and everything, he can't do tomorrow. Right? When the Jew is makdish miskaper, he could do tmura. When a Jew is a makdish and somebody else is a miskaper, the makdish doesn't have the ability to do tmura. But all of a sudden, if John is makdish to carbon for somebody else, now he becomes stronger than a Yisrael in that situation. And now he would all of a sudden have the ability to do tmura, and for that we have no resolution. It's teku. We don't know. It's a pella. It's not a question of timing. How could he be better than a Yisrael? Because Yisrael is a shliach from the beginning. Reuven is makdash akorban for Shimon. Right? The halacha is... Reuven is makdash akorban for Shimon, and then Reuven makes tmura. Doesn't work. Because he's not the miskaper. So even though he's the makdash, he's not the miskaper. As far as kapara is concerned, so that means he can make only the miskaper could make tomorrow. So the goy is also the miskaper considered? So then he doesn't have the ability of tomorrow. No, you know, the only reason in the world why a goy would have an ability to do tumura is he's counting on the Jew's stakes. Because if the goy is the makdish and the miskaper, he can't do tumura. So the only reason why the goy has any ticket to do tumura is he's riding on the back of the Yisroel. Right? So, see, he's riding on the Jew's back. Oh, I agree with you. It's very schwer. Very schwer. What's going on? So the Lechem Mishnah comes, and the Lechem Mishnah here, which I asked the Olam to look up again, wants to learn that the Rambam actually is talking about a case where the Yisrael that was the goy that was makdish to carbon, that the Jew should have a kapara. The Jew then went and said, "Kol roitz lahamer yavam." The Jew went. And the Jew went in and said, "V'im toima l'kosov le'el d'miskaper meimer v'loya makdish." As the Lechem Mishnah, we already concluded, even in the case of a Jew, that only the Jew could do it, that only the miskaper could do it, the one who's getting the kapara. How could the goy? He says, "V'eich yomer kana goy v'yesh loimer." The nosan loy hamiskaper rishus sheyomer k'moy shekosav le'el. That's what he says. So in other words, according to the Lechem Mishnah, Lechem Mishnah is not learning David like you. He's learning in a Hanami. The miskaper has the rights. The miskaper now is giving the guy the rights to do it. So I don't understand. What do we need this whole fancy case? What do we need this whole fancy case? Just tell me a regular shaila. Korban shol Yisrael, and the Jew says, kol roitz lahomer. It's clear that the Rambam is not saying that that's the shaila. Why are we making this whole fancy case? According to the Lechem Mishnah, really, the Jew is the one who should be able to do tumura. When the guy is makdish to carbon, and he says that the Jew should have the kapara, the real person to do tumura is the Jew. And the Jew taka could do tumura. It's not a shaila. Now the Jew goes and says, you know what? Let the guy be able to do tumura. So the guy is hanging on to the coattail of the yid. And that's the shaila. Maybe he could do tumura because he got his rights from the yid. Right? So then what do you need the guy to be a makdish for? It's clear that that's not the case. Besides for the fact that kol roitz lahomer is a shlichas dika halacha. And that's the minchas chinuch's question. He says, I don't even understand how the Jew could appoint the guy to do tumura. Right? That's a different issue. So that there really is another way to learn. You see, in shlichas, there are really three different types of shlichas. I mean, you're learning now, those of you that are learning Kiddushin are probably more comfortable with these Yisraelis, that in shlichas, there are really three different types of shlichas. There's three different categories where shlichas potentially can be used. One is if you have a mitzvah that's on you to do, okay, like Kiddushin. It's a mitzvah on you. It's not a mitzvah shebeguf. Tefillin, you can't make a shlich, because that's a question of physically your body has to experience the mitzvah. But you have a mitzvah, call it a mitzvah ala guf. Kiddushin is a mitzvah on me to do Kiddushin. It's my mitzvah. The mitzvah of truma. It's a mitzvah on me, the owner of the truma, to be my first truma. Right? It's not on my body, so I can make a shlich to represent me to be my first truma. That's one type of shlichas. Then there's a shlichas where bechlal, I don't have specifically the mitzvah. It's not on me to do the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that has to occur. It's not a mitzvah on me. For instance, a mitzvah that the son should get a bris milah. So Kivager explains that that's not a mitzvah on me. It's a mitzvah that this bris should occur. And there's a debate in the Rishonim whether you need shlichas at all. Maybe you don't need shlichas. Maybe bechlal you don't need shlichas. Then there's another category of shlichas where really the shliach is not really your representative at all. It's not that he's my representative. It's called what we call maisi hashliach. L'moshel, by korbanos, the Gemara has a tzad that a kohen is your shlich. Right? The Gemara in Kiddushin debates in the Dorim, how could a kohen be a shliach? You can't do it. How could a kohen do it? Right? So the Rishonim explain that there's a concept of a shlich who's not representing you. He's doing it on his own. In other words, basically, you're empowering somebody. He's doing it. It's his action. Rabbi Yosef Engel actually holds that that's every case of shlichus. Rabbi Yosef Engel holds, in the yeshivas we always clear, when you have a shlich, is he you? Shluch Hashem Kamaisi, is he you? Or is the shlich's act miyuchas to you? Rabbi Yosef Engel has a third side, which is not as famous in the yeshivas, but really it's extremely logical, and that is, the shlich is not you, and he's not even representing your interests. It's not that he is, his act that he does goes back to you. The chiddush of shlich says that we don't need your act. That the Torah is saying, you know what, Reuven, we don't need you to do anything. If you appoint a shlich, that's also good. So it's not that the shlich's act comes back to me. The Torah was machsher, the shlich, that he's good. Why is he good? Not because he represents you. Because he's shlich. Shlich is good too. Bailam are good. Shlich is good. I brought a raya. Just like you're good, he's good. Just like the Torah says, Reuven is good, Shimon the Shlich is also good. He's just like him. One sec. So according to this, Rabbi Yosef Engel, I'm really, without this third side, I know when you hear it, it sounds wild, because in yeshivas, we always clear the first two ways. Either he's you, or he's his act, his conclusion comes back to me. But really, in the Gemara and Kiddushin, it's almost muchach, this third way. Because the Gemara Kiddushin wants to learn shlichus from kotshim. Karbonis is, every carbon is shlichus. The kohen is doing it, The Gemara says you can't learn from kotshim to non-kotshim. Because kotshim, roiv maseyam al yidei shlich. That's what the Gemara says in Kiddushin. Most of the things you do by karbonis is with a shlich. The obvious question is, so learn from most of the things. The Gemara says you can't learn from kotshim. Because kotshim, most of the things are done through a shlich. Fine. So learn from most of the things. What's the pircha? So the Ritva asked this question. And the Ritva in Kiddushin answers, since we see by Karbonis, the majority of what goes on is done with Shliach, maybe that's what the Torah wanted, Dafka the Shliach and not you. Right? Sahara Kasha. What do you mean? That's not Shaykh. Because whenever the Shliach does something, it is me. But if you don't like a abusive angle, it's very good. Because when the shlich does something, it's him. And that's what the Ritva is saying, that maybe Faker, maybe by Kodshim, that's what the Torah wants. The Torah wants him, the Torah doesn't want you. But if you're going to tell me that every shlich goes back to me, it would be senseless to say, the Torah wants him and not me. He's just representing me, he's me. So therefore, the credit, you get credit. Well, it's chal. Really, in most cases, it's not even a geya. It's chal. You want to marry somebody. Your shlich went to the kiddushin. You're married to them. Why? Because how do you get a wife? Either by you doing kiddushin or by a shlich doing kiddushin. That's how you get a wife. How do you mafris truma? Either you're mafris truma or Mr. Shlich is mafris truma. It's not that when Mr. Shlich is mafris truma, I was mafris truma. Mr. Shlich was mafris truma. That's fine. You could say that too. In conclusion, it could be that way. We're just debating what the Gemara means when the Gemara says you can't learn from there because perhaps, the question is what the perhaps is. I'm bringing a raya from the perhaps, from the fact that the Ritva is saying perhaps the Torah, Dafka wanted him and not you. If shlichus is only that it goes back to me, that perhaps doesn't make any sense. That's all I'm saying. In conclusion, it could be like you're saying. We're going in the perhaps part. But anyway, al kaponim, so by tmura, it's possible to say that when you say kol ha'roitz el ha'omer, yovel v'homer, it's a new kind of halacha that the Torah was machadish, that the other guy is not really acting on your behalf, and that takes care of Shelley's problem, which they ask as well, that ein shlich levar avera can't be a regular shlichus, because you can't be a shlich for an avera. It's a new kind of halacha, that you're empowering him to do what he wants to do. It's not going back to you, it's his thing, it's his action. So that maybe one can arguably say that would apply to a goy. It's still a big stretch to say that applied to a goy, because that's a chiddush only by Yisrael. The Minchas Chinuch wants to say an even bigger chiddush. Minchas Chinuch wants to say that according to the Lecha Mishnah, The case is that the goy got hired by the Jew. We know that there's another way for you to get an act. One is using the channel of shlichus. And one, if I hire somebody, he becomes my poyel. And there's a concept of yad poyel ki yad raboy. That almost, that like bypass, it's like a bypass road. It bypasses shlichus. I don't have to come on to shlichus. Shlichus is a new fancy way that your act comes back to me or whatever. If I hire you, you become an extension of me almost financially. The Machne Ephraim uses this for market. He says, how are we Makayim a market when you build a house and the goy builds the, most homes are built by goyim, and the goy builds the wall on the second floor or the roof. So the Machne Ephraim says, doesn't matter if there's no shlichus by a goy. He's your worker. Yad poyel ki yad raboy. We spoke about this once in Hilchos Shabbos, that according to some, if you have a goy, a shiksa working for you, and they do malach on Shabbos, it's worse than telling a goy stam. Because when you stam tell a goy, there's no shlichus to a goy, midaraisa. But when you hire somebody, it makes it worse. Now that person's act could be miyuchas to you through that. So Minchas Chinuch wants to suggest that maybe this Rambam by us is talking about a case where the goy was hired by the Jew to do tzvua. I mean, it's vild that this is all the case of the Rambam. And this will be a chetimtza that the act goes back to the goy. So I was thinking perhaps, in order to get a better understanding here, is that the conclusion of the Gemara actually is that a goy cannot do tzmura because of psukim, not because he's not a bar oinshin. And that's the Sfasemis. If you look in our sugi, the Sfasemis touches on that. That the conclusion of our Gemara is that there's psukim. The Sfasemis actually asks, why is it that Rashi brings in oinshim when the conclusion is that there's a pasuk that a goy can't do tmur? It says Bnei Yisrael, goy can't do tmur. So that's also something that the sugi that doesn't seem to be consistent from the beginning to the end of the sugi. The beginning seems to be going with oinshim. The end of the sugi seems to be going that there's psukim. Oh, the chiddush of the goy is that even though he's a goy, the tumor is going to be chal. By a Jew, it's lesser of a chiddush. Yeah. Okay. So I think in order to give a little light in this inyan, I think we can be mevayer like this. First, we'll go to the idea, whenever I'm bring a korban for you, so that works. We said that's really the main struggle in our sugya, to understand how the Gemara is applying that concept to a goy. How does that concept apply to a goy? L'chayra, a goy can't bring a korban for Yisrael. Right? And in fact, Tosfos says a goy cannot bring a korban for Yisrael. So what I wanted to analyze here is really we find two types of korbanos where potentially Reuven could bring a korban for Shimon. One is it's just a credit. Credit, meaning Shimon is not chayav of a korban. Shimon, he has no obligations. I get up and I say, listen, I'm bringing a korban for Shimon. Let him get the credit of the korban. There's such a thing called a nedava. I'm makdish an oilus nedava, or I'm makdish a shalmi nedava, and I want him to get the credit. That's all. That would be one possibility. It's obvious that would be much less of a chiddush that Reuven could do that for Shimon. Why shouldn't he be able to do that for Shimon? Shimon has no obligation. Reuven is not fulfilling Shimon's obligation. He's giving him a credit. Here, take this carbon. I was makdish this carbon. Now you bring it and you'll get the credit for it. I was the makdish. You're going to get the kapara. Kapara meaning not a kapara that you needed. Just a benefit of the kapara. That's one way. If you look at the Rambam, consistently, every time he brings down what is a makdish and a miskaper, it's found three different places in the Rambam, twice in Maisei HaKorbanos and one in Mechusrei Kapara. Every time he brings it down in a case where somebody else is obligated. Reuven is obligated. You have a nazir. In Mechusrei Kapara, he brings it down that way. In Maisei HaKorbanos, he brings it down that way. And except by a goy, when he brings down the concept of a goy bringing a korban for a Jew, he doesn't bring down the concept that the Jew was obligated to korban. That's not his example. This, the Rambam, is found in Perek Gimel, in Maisei HaKorbanos. I'll just read you the Rambam. Nochri shehevi shlomim. If a goy brings a carbon shlomim, the halacha is all the carbonos of a goy are always brought as an oil. Even if the goy was makdash a shlomim, we don't bring it as a shlomim, we bring it as an oil. So he says, we always bring a carbon oil for a goy. Sha'akum libel ha-shamayim. A goy doesn't have an understanding where you can have a carbon that you eat. That doesn't work with a goy's ideology. Says the Rambam, nodar shlomim, the goy made himself a shlomim, v'nosnom liyisrael sheyiskapil behem yisrael. The Rambam doesn't say a word that the Yisrael was high of a carbon and the Jew came, and the goy came and he facilitated that. He doesn't say that. He says the goy was makdash a carbon, he made it into a shlomim. He said, here, you use it. Why did the Rambam deviate from the way he normally learned? You could say it's lav davka, but I think it's not mistavra to say it's lav davka. And then the Rambam says, oich l'moyesei Yisraelim kishal me'Yisrael. So the Rambam says that what's the chiddush? The chiddush is normally when a goy brings a carbon, we only bring it as an oiler. Here the goy was makdash a carbon, it's possible that we will bring it as a shlomim. If he gives it to a Jew, now we'll bring it as a shlomim, because a Jew is the one who's bringing the carbon. So I want to suggest that the Rambam holds, taka, a goy cannot bring a carbon for a Jew. Because you need shlichus, and you need to be appointed, and you need a gzeres hakosov, like Tosfos says in Nazar. A goy can't be that middleman. There's too many checkpoints that you have to cross that a goy is not in the parasha. Says the Rambam, the only case that a goy could bring a carbon for a yid is when he doesn't need it. Stop, it's a credit. The goy is makdash a carbon. He says, hey, you bring it. That's the case. And that's why the Rambam holds, that's how the Rambam bypasses the problems of, we don't have a pasuk that says that a goy could do that. We don't have a mechanics that a goy could do that. I only have to be represented by the makdash if I had an obligation to be makdash. The Torah said, I have to bring a chatas, right? Now you will makdash the chatas. Well, how do I get the credit? I need the credit because I'm obligated to karma chatas. So I need that you did it for me. Otherwise, I'm in limbo. Otherwise, I still have an obligation to bring a chatas. For that, a goy could never do. But if I don't need a chatas, I don't need a shlomim. Stam, a goy went, he was makdash a shlomim. Here, you use it. No problem. He's not fulfilling any obligation for me by being makdash to shlomim. He's just giving me credit. Here, take it, use it. Okay, fine, I'm using it. That's according to the Rambam. That's the case. So I want to tell you like this. This doesn't make a difference with Lashon. Miskaper. With Yorshim also, we say they're miskaper. We call it, we brought this down, miskaper mikufya. They get this quasi-kapara. Kapara just means a benefit. When you get a benefit of a carbon, it cleanses you. It's whatever it does. It's a mila. So now, everything, based on this mahalach, everything becomes clear. I think all these points become clear in the sugya. First of all, because the goy is not fulfilling your obligation for you, rather he was makdash the carbon, and then you're using it, it opens the door now to understand why this should be different than a regular classic case of makdash and miskaper. Regular makdash and miskaper, we say, okay, the fact that you're the one who needs the kapar, and I'm the one who was makdash the carbon. So who do we view as the bala carbon? The one who needs the kapar of the carbon. He's more connected to the carbon than the one who separated it. That's all true where there's a person who's obligated, and there's a person who is makdash it. Who do we look at as more connected? Who's more of a mechutin? The one who needs the kapar. Yeah. But if we're looking at two people, David, this goes back to what you were saying a little bit. If we look at the two people and we go, 1 second, he was not obligated. And he also was not obligated. Rather, he's bringing and he was makdash. Now we could go and say, well, maybe the makdash is more important than the miskaper. We don't know who's the main guy here. Who is the main guy? Not so push it. And that's why Rami Bar Choma has a shaila. In a regular case, we have a Jew bringing obligation for another yid. We have a conclusion. The conclusion is we go by the miskaper. But here the problem is, the only reason why the goy could do it bechlal is because he's not really fulfilling your obligation for you. Because you're not really obligated. So if you're not really obligated, so mehechateis of the korban is miyuchas to you. Maybe it's more miyuchas to the goy. That's the shayla. Exactly. That's the Shaila. And that's why there's a strong tzad to say that the Jew is not the Miyuchas. The Rambam, in fact, holds Lamaisa, the Jew is not a Miyuchas. The Miskaper is not a Miyuchas. He wasn't Makdish the Korban, and he doesn't have an obligation to bring the Korban. He's a nobody. He's just a guy who's getting a present. The Goy is saying, you know, here, use my credit if you'd like. The Rambam holds, that's why the Rambam couldn't learn the Gemara that the Jew is now going to do Tumura. The Jew's not a Mechutin to do Tumura. By a regular Miskaper, I could do Tumura because I'm the one who gets the Kapara from this Korban. I'm the one who's obligated to bring this Korban. The whole origin of this Korban is riding on my obligation. I'm the one who does Tumura here. But here we're not dealing with that. We're dealing where you have no obligation. And the only reason why the Goy Bechlal can give you the credit is because you have no obligation. So he's really the Makdish, and you're just the recipient. You go from the level of Miskaper to the level of recipient. Now, in recipient, we can declare your whatever benefit you have from this carbon is not enough to exclude the Goy. And that's why perhaps the Goy could do Tumura. I, a Goy, normally cannot do Tumura. Yeah, a Goy can normally not do Tumura, maybe, because of his benefit from the carbon. Because he's the Goy, at the end of the day, is the one that receives the benefit of this carbon. And therefore, he's not in the parasha of Tumura. But maybe over here, since the Jew is the beneficiary, so maybe then the Goy could do Tumura. Because it is his carbon. Here we manage to manipulate a situation where it's the Goy's carbon. The Jew is getting a benefit, not the kind of benefit that would give the Jew a right to do Tumura, but enough of a benefit that now the carbon becomes this carbon that has a connection to Yisrael, that maybe now the Goy could do Tumura now, without a Koloroitzer. He doesn't need a Koloroitzer. Lechem Mishnah is saying, the Jew then said Koloroitzer. The only reason why the Lechem Mishnah was forced to say that is because the Lechem Mishnah was going with the assumption that the Miskaper, the Jew, is the one that has the right to do Tumura. So what is John doing Tumura for? But the way we're explaining it, in this unique case, the Jew cannot do Tumura. Because he's not the Makdish and he's not the Miskaper. He's not obligated to get any Kapara here. So the Jew is in isolation. The only Maila the Jew has is that now the Korban is not completely Korbanos Shel Akum. The beneficiary is the Yisrael. Now we go back to Rashi. Why did Rashi bring in the Inyan of Ein Shem, the Sfas Emes' question? I think it's very simple. Because Rashi is saying, now already, the whole reason why this will work is because since the Jew is a beneficiary, so maybe now it's not excluded from Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael means as long as a Jew is a beneficiary of this carbon, Tumura works. So Rashi couldn't bring the pasuk of Bnei Yisrael. Rashi had to say no. There has to be that there's a penalty question here. Maybe since the Goy is not in the parish of penalty, even though the Yid is the beneficiary, maybe he still can't construct a Tumura in this way. And that's there's no contradiction. So the way we're coming out is like this. A carbon that belongs to a Goy completely with the benefit, no Tumura. Why? Gzeres HaKosov, Bnei Yisrael. A carbon that belongs to a Jew completely, a Goy can't do Tumura because a Goy can never be appointed by a Jew. There's no shlichus to a Goy. A Goy could never be appointed. The only way we could get a situation where a Goy could potentially do Tumura, mikoyach safek, we have to manipulate a case where the Goy doesn't need the Jew's permission. The only way to construe that kind of a situation is to find a carbon which inherently belonged to the Goy, and yet the Yid has a benefit, but the Yid's benefit is not enough that he should need to empower the Goy, because you can't empower a Goy. And this was the only example we could get. The only example we could get is, the Goy was Makdash Karban, so it's his Karban. He doesn't need anybody's permission. And he's giving it over to somebody who doesn't need a Kapara. So therefore, he remains the main stockholder. And he doesn't need the Jew's permission. And now he went and he did Tumura. Maybe there's enough of a kesher. The fact that the Yid is the beneficiary, it's not excluded from Bnei Yisrael. The fact that he doesn't need the Jew's permission gets rid of the problem that he doesn't have to be appointed by the Jew because he's the owner. He's the owner of the carbon. And the conclusion, Rashi says, is that we really don't know. It's a suffix. The reason why it's a suffix is because, in conclusion, since he's not a bar einshin, maybe the mechanics of the carbon of tamur to bichal, you need a bar einshin. Well, maybe no. Maybe the penalty of tamura is chal as long as the mechaper, the one who's going to get the conclusion, is a bar einshin. Maybe that's enough, and that the Gemara doesn't resolve. That there's no resolution. That's the takeo of the Gemara. So I think that really gets back to all the issues here. Now we're coming at that even if you learn that by tmura you don't have to come on to regular shlichus, it still would only work where one Jew is appointing another Jew. Then one Jew could empower another Jew to do tmura. And echnami, it doesn't go back to them as we explained, but you still need a bar hochi. By a goy, you could never appoint him to do it. What? It's not a zichus. What? A 100%. I want you to know that Rabbeinu Gershon in our sugi, if you take a look at Rabbeinu Gershon, Miskaper, by Miskaper is a Tmura. So Rabbeinu Gershon says, that the case of Miskaper, normally, where Miskaper is Oysa Tmura, is a case where somebody was high of a carbon. Here. Liftor Choyvosoy Shel Yisroel. He doesn't learn like the Rambam, but I think the reason why he uses the Lashon Liftor Choyvosoy is because he tackles like you're saying. If the other guy is not obligated to bring a carbon, he has no shaykhs to do Tmura. The Yoslam. If I'm the Makdish and the other guy does no obligation, so there's nothing. There's no connection to him as far as being having the ability to do Tmura. To do Tmura, you have to be a balabos. You're a balabos by one of two ways. Either being the Makdish or being the one who's obligated to receive the kapar. If you just stop getting credits being thrown at you, that doesn't make you a balabos. Right? 100%. Okay. We're going to Mitzvah Shem next week. We're going to already start the Sugya Lav Shem B'Maisa. So, important to finish this Amud. And we will give Mitzvah Shem, we will send out the Maram HaKaimis, but to get to the bottom of the Amud for next week.